We'll just bow in a word of prayer. Our dear Father, we do pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts tonight, and we pray, Lord, we might learn from it. We pray if any be in the meeting not saved, that they too may put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Bless thy word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's quite a well-known portion of Scripture, this. And most interesting, I find, I've read it many times. And just to get the context, I want to read a few verses from 2 Kings 6, verse 24. And it came to pass that after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cob of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Now, you'll see indeed that Samaria was besieged by Ben-Hadad, the Syrian ruler. And this indeed was a great famine, a terrible time for the people that were in it. And of course, in any famine like this, when a woman gave her son up that she may eat him, and was deceived in such a way, it shows you how bad it was. Inside this city, there was death, despair, and deception. Deception here with this woman, who believed that all would be well in this terrible act that she'd done, but she found out to her that that wasn't to be the way. And you know, sin can bring people right down. Someone has once said, sin will take you much further than you ever want to go. And in this city, there was terrible things happening, and this must have been one of the worst things. And this woman, of course, was deceived. And you know, the Bible tells us, of course, that the god of this world hath deceived many. The Bible says that he hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the gospel should shine in unto them. And you know, the devil has blinded many people's minds. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight, and as far as you're concerned, maybe you think that your good works will get you to heaven. You know, I was brought up, I went to church, Church of Ireland. I was confirmed by the bishop, and I was a churchgoer, and I got it into my head that I was okay, and that things were all right, because the Bible says, as I quote it, the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And I thought it was okay, of course. In time, thank God, the Lord opened mine eyes to see that I was not okay, but far from it, and I needed the Savior. But you know, this famine was so bad, when you turn and see, the Bible also says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And you know, this world is not a friend of God. The world is the enemy of God because of the wickedness in it. And people, even in the world, unless they're saved and come to realize that Christ alone can save them, they will die in their sins. And you know, I love that verse, and it's so well known, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And you know, indeed, a world that's lost, and yet God loved the poor sinners and gave his Son that you and I might live. And what a wonderful thing that is, that in spite of all the sin in the world, even today, that God still loves the people in it and can save all those who will call upon him. And you know, I want to turn you to that lovely portion too in verse 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. You know, leprosy is a type of sin. And if you turn to Leviticus 13 and verse 46, the whole chapter is to do with leprosy, but the verse 46 is a lovely verse and really sums it all up about the leper. A sad verse, but here's what it says. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And the leper, of course, was to dwell alone, as these four lepers were outside the city at the gate they sat. And you know, leprosy is to say a type of sin defiled them, and they couldn't enter in to partake in any way of the tabernacle or of the offerings. They were shut out until their leprosy was cleansed. And as we know, there was very few of them cleansed in these days, except, of course, when the Lord himself spoke about Naaman the leper. But these people were outside the gate, and it's what they said is most interesting. Four lepers. Although they could dwell alone, at least they were all the same, so they came together. And they said these wonderful words, "Why sit we here until we die?" And you know, there's many a person that attends God's house and have attended it for many, many years, and they're still not saved. And you know, that word could be a word to your heart tonight. Why sit ye here until ye die? Why do you come and just sit and do nothing about your soul? Here was these men that realized that if they were to continue to sit where they were going to die. And friend, if you do nothing about your soul, one famous preacher said, if you want to be lost and go to hell, do nothing. And that's what these men said. Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, they had a good conversation. They were at their wits' end. They realized that if they stayed where they were, they'll die with hunger. They had nothing. If they go into the city, where a woman had to eat, or did eat her own son, there was nothing there, so they were going to die there. And so they decided that they were going to have to do something. And here's what they said, of course. Let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they kill us, we shall but die. You know, very good logic in one sense. They knew if they sat where they were going to die. They're going to the city, they'll die. There was only one thing they could see. Let us go to the host of the Syrians. Maybe because we're lepers, maybe because of the way we are, they will have mercy upon us. But they decided they had to go. Stay here and we die. Go into the city and we die. Let's go and see if we can find mercy. And you know, friend, I would say to you tonight, this is not just a chance. If you're not saved tonight, and you realize that if you continue to sit where you are and do nothing about your soul, that you'll die in your sins. And Jesus said, if ye die in your sins, where I am, there ye cannot come. And you know, friend, if you will just come to Christ, the word says, believe on him, come to him, you shall be saved. He that believeth shall be saved. Remember it says, look unto me, Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Just a look of faith to Christ can save your soul, and that's so important. But here was these men, and they got up and they went, verse 5, they rose up in the twilight to go on to the camp of the Syrians. And what happened there? And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. That's a lovely little text there. There was no man there. Something had happened. And if you read this portion, there was no doubt about this. It was totally miraculous. It was absolutely miraculous. Because it says in verse 6, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." You know, only God could have done such a thing. It's truly a miraculous happening. Here was these men, and you see how the Lord used four lepers, nobodies, outcasts of society, with this terrible disease upon them, and yet they came here and discovered that the army had gone, and they couldn't believe it. And you'll see that they, verse 8, "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it." I was going to say it was like Christmas to them. It was a miracle. And here was these men, and indeed they had come believing they might just get mercy, and they found a feast. They found the enemy had gone, and they found everything was safe and secure for them. And you know, it was the Lord who done it. And I'd like to show you too in it that what actually did happen, where it happened. It happened outside the gates, outside the city walls. There was victory. And you know, you and I know that outside the city walls of Jerusalem was where the Savior died. Remember, it says that it was outside the city, John 19 and 20. He was crucified outside the city. And you know, here was a great victory for these men that came outside the city walls. And the greatest victory of all time was outside the city walls of Jerusalem, when God offered up his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And then it says in Hebrews 10 and 12, "But this man, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." You know, Christ finished the work. Hebrews 9 and 12, "By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And you know, the wonderful thing is, it says here in this portion, there was no man there. Man was outside the realm of this miracle. And at Calvary, although there was people around the cross, it had nothing to do with man. It was God's will that Christ should die. Christ himself said that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he spake, signifying what death he would die. And Christ had to die. He had to go to Calvary. He had to lay down his life as the Lamb of God. And you know, it was outside the city walls of Jerusalem that victory came. Not just for time, but for eternity. And thank God he finished the work. Remember in John 17, he says, "I have finished the work which thou givest me to do." He knew that he would finish it, even in his prayer to his heavenly Father. And I was outside the city. So these lepers got this great victory. No man there. Man was nothing to do with it. God had done this great thing. And you know, they had a great time. They were eating. They were feasting. They seen all the wealth. They were able to hide it for themselves. And then suddenly, verse 9, they realized that they were debtors. "We do not well. For this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us now. Therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." You know, they realize that this wonderful thing that had happened, this feast that they had, saved their life, that they were now debtors to others. And you know, you and I believers, when we're saved, we are debtors to others. We just can't sit back and say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's great. The Lord saves us for a purpose, to be his witness, to be his light, and to live for him. Now, all of us have different things to do. We are all part of his body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. We're all workers together. And these men realized that they had a very important thing to do now. And they realized, look, if we keep our peace, just stay here, something will happen to us. And they were probably right. It would have been a shame when they realized the whole city was perishing. And so they rose up with the responsibility, because they were debtors, and they went back to Samaria. And you know, a wonderful thing here is that when they went back, and you can understand the King Jehoram, looking at it maybe from his point of view, he thought, oh, this here's a trap. The army, not there, they're hiding somewhere. Once we come out of the city, we're finished, they'll just sweep in. But again, how God uses people. Remember Naaman? Remember he turned away when he was told to go and dip in Jordan, and he turned away, and then it says a servant came and spoke to him. Here again, a servant came and spoke to the king. And you know, God uses us when we're humble. When we humble ourselves, he uses simple things. He uses ordinary people. And I don't mean he doesn't use kings or queens or people in authority. He does. But he uses ordinary people to do ordinary things. And the servant spoke to the king and said, look, let's send out 5 horses and see if this be so. And so the king agreed, and they sent out 2 horses, and they found out that it was true. You know, a wonderful thing is this too, that the 4 lepers had done their part. They had given out their message, and they told the king what was happening. And then you don't read about them in the rest of the chapter. And you know, friend, you and I have a job to do. You might witness to someone, and perhaps when you've witnessed to them, away they go, and you might never see them again. But yet God can bless the word. And you know, many, many years ago, a woman spoke to me in Newcastle. She was from Portadown, told me I needed to be saved. 4 days later, I got saved, and I never seen her since. And I wouldn't know her if I walked by her or spoke to her. But you know, God blessed the word that she spoke to my heart, and I got saved. And here was these lepers. They gave the message. They told them what was happening. And the king sent out then finally word, and they discovered that all was well. They discovered that it was the truth, and deliverance had come. And of course, the one man who mocked, I didn't mention it, but Tommy read about it, the scoffer, if the Lord should open windows in heaven, might this thing be? And Elisha said, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And he died. Destruction came upon him. And you know how true it is that those that mock and scoff at the word of God, their end indeed is destruction. But you know, friend, too, truly, if you come not to Christ, if you believe him not, you will have the same end. You will perish. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day when you can be saved, and God would indeed call you to himself. Remember, please, remember again the 4 lepers, men, what they said. If we stay here, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. I would say to you, friend, come and fall into the hands of Christ. Commit yourself to him. Trust in him, and thou shalt be saved, because he is more willing to save you than you are to come. But you must come. And you know, isn't it wonderful at the end of this that the Lord done a great work? The whole city was saved. And you know, friends, I would say this, we ought to believe today, Our nation is in a terrible state. Those in authority, many of them, have no time for God. During this whole COVID-19, we never heard one really on the other side of the water, mainland, calling for prayer. I know it's so sad, but you know, God can change even a land, and we ought to keep praying and praying that God will work in our nation, because this truly was a miracle. A people ready to perish from starvation, and in a moment, God turned it all around, and He's still the same today. And there is a famine, of course, today for the Word of God. There's a lack today that many of our churches, unfortunately, I don't mean the Free Church, may God keep it ever pure and clean, but in many churches that were once strong with the Lord, for the Lord, have now departed from the things of God. Our nation has acknowledged sins that it should never have done. We think of abortion. We think of sodomy. We think of all these things that have been put upon the nation, classed as good and wholesome and healthy, and they're abominable in the sight of God. But the Lord can turn things round, and we ought to keep praying and believing in Him. And I believe yet we will see great things for the glory and the honour of His name.